This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so before I kind of forgot, the kid is home. Jay is in the house. Amen. And so so happy to have him. Of course, he's mainly home because, you know, with Graham transitioning to heaven, we're going to have our service this week and that kind of stuff. But it's good to see him. And he's doing really good. I don't know if you saw my post. They done gave that boy a NAM. He's only been in for a year. That's impressive. I told him, son, every time I ask him how work going, he says, it's going good. It's going better than good. And so, anyways, we're so happy to have him home. I think Sia flies in the next day. And then, of course, some of our kids that are overseas, you know, they can't come this way. And so, but it is good when any of them come this way. Amen. So, all right. So, did we make our confession of faith? Yes, we did. Okay. So, we are in our series entitled Key Ingredients. Key Ingredients. And the whole purpose for this series is to make sure that we have the things that we need in our lives to do things God's way, because God has his own plan for our lives, and we have to make sure that we are lining up with God's plan for our lives. The Bible says that his ways are not our ways, and neither his thoughts ours, because his are higher than ours. So to the degree that we do things God's way, we will get God results in our lives, and that's what we have to understand. So I want to talk to you today from today's key ingredients. I want to talk to you about patience. Everybody say patience. I think everyone in the room at certain points in our lives can use just a little bit more patience. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about patience. My definition for patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. That's my definition for patience, the ability to handle delay and to remain in joy. And if you live long enough, you will find out that everything doesn't necessarily work as fast as you want it to. Isn't that right? If you live long enough, you'll find out sometimes things don't turn out exactly how you thought they would turn out. But God is still God. God is still good, and God is still greater, you're right? And greater than any situation, anything that we go through. And so we live in this fast-paced society where we want our thing, our way, right away, and all those kind of things. But we have to understand that we've got to kind of slow down and allow patience to have our perfect work on the inside of us, so we might be complete, entire, and wanting nothing, all right? And so I want to talk to you about patience. I want to talk to you about patience, but I'm going to teach patience a little bit differently than I've taught it in the past, all right? I want to teach it a little bit. I initially started coming up with a lesson. You know, I'm a three-point guy for the most part. Sometimes you get 4 points. You got it. But, you know, and I was going to give you like 3 points about just really how to walk in patience. But as I really prayed and meditated on it and looked on some of my other notes that I've taught before on patience, I thought one of the ways to really help you understand how to walk in patience is to understand the timing of God. Because if you really understand the timing of God and how God does what he does, it causes us to take a deep breath, to slow down, to calm down, and realize God is in control. He knows what he's doing. And if I just take the back seat and let him take the front seat, everything's going to work out. Can I get a? Amen. All right. So Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse, foundation, something that we need to understand. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So we just need to understand that there's a season and a time for everything. You got it? And I think when we begin to understand that, it helps you to slow down and realize that even if you're not yet at the season or the time that you want it to be, if you just keep on living, it's going to show up. It's going to happen in your life, all right? So I want to talk to you. The first part we're going to talk about is just kind of understanding the divine scope of time and kind of how that works, all right? And I don't think I've been teaching 8 minutes already, y'all. The clock is messed up a little bit. It's not their fault. And so, but I don't think I've been teaching 8. All right, praise the Lord. Did you tell them to do that? You said take off 5. Okay, no problem. You know, I need all my time, baby. I need all my time. I think I've been teaching 3.5, maybe 4. Praise the Lord. All right. And so, y'all excuse us. Amen. So, I want to talk to you a little bit about understanding the divine scope of time, how God does things, and then I want to talk to you about how to discern time and how you have the power to create some things in your life because of how God has designed it. So we're going to jump into it, Jeremiah, the first chapter, and the fifth verse. It says, this is God. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, what are those next three words, class? I knew thee. So he said, before Jeremiah, before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the earth, before I even formed you, I already knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I had sanctified thee. I had already ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nation. So Jeremiah, you can do this thing because before you ever got here, my plan was already in motion for your life. All right. And the reason that we need to understand how that works is because we don't necessarily think exactly like God. Now, God functions in what we call one eternal now, all right? God is just in one eternal now. Have you ever read the scripture that says a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day? To us, you know, we look at a day, 1,000 years, that's like a big difference, not to God, all right? And so he functions in one eternal now, and he lives from everlasting to everlasting. The writer says from everlasting to everlasting. Lasting, you are God. And what God has done is he's carved out a platform that we call time. And in this time, there are dispensations and there are seasons. Now, we are in the dispensation of what we call grace. I'm thankful to be in this dispensation. I'd rather not be in the dispensation of law, consciousness, any of those kind of things. I'm in the right dispensation. However, this is the dispensation where I know Jesus is coming back. As a matter of fact, he could come back this afternoon. You got it? And so the most important thing is that whenever he comes back, we must be ready. Can I get a amen? All right. So when you begin to understand that, and I'm going to try my best like I always do to break it down, to make it easy because I want you to understand it. I don't have a lot of notes because it's better for me to flow the way I want to flow and you just kind of be looking at me and understanding. So we have, number one, we have time. Everybody say time. This is just a specific period marked by measurable events. In time, God causes set times of favor to show up for you. Sometimes God causes things to happen in life where it doesn't look like it's going to show up, but it shows up. Have you ever been in a situation where you weren't sure if something was going to work out and God came through? You got it? I remember when, oh man, so many things. I remember when we were on Neuse Boulevard and Lady LaConte and I, since the beginning of this ministry, we took care of the bills of the ministry. You know, when we first started, we were in a little small building, $800, $900 a month. We outgrew it in just a few months. So we had to go to Neuse Boulevard. That was $8,500 a month just for the rent, not for the electric, not for anything else, just for the rent. But God put it in our hearts that this is what you need to do. You guys pay for it. You know, the church will pick up, that kind of thing. And so, you know, so what happened is we've been on Neuse Boulevard for a little while. People are starting to come. Things, we're starting to grow. People starting to learn to give. You're giving. You're getting blessed. It's also blessing the church. We're about getting to the point where Lady and I don't have to put as much personal money in as we normally did. Now we can just pay our tithes and offering. You got it? And that, you know, we was looking forward to that, praise the Lord. You know, and but right around that time is when God put it in my heart that it's time to build. You know, and he says, you're going to get up and you're going to declare that you all guys are breaking ground and you're going to build. And I'm like, hold on, Lord, it ain't time for that. But that was in my perspective, but not in God's perspective, because his ways are not our ways and neither are his thoughts ours. You know, in the natural, you got it. The church really didn't have much money. You got it? You know, because we were taking care of everything. So we didn't have much money. We didn't have any land. Talking about building, you got it. We didn't have any credit because we were a young church and those kind of things. I wanted to use my credit and my personal wealth and, you know, our businesses and stuff, but they don't allow that with the church. You can't mix a personal person with the 501c3. You know, it just doesn't work that way. And so it looked like it wasn't time, but watch this. In the eyes of God, it was time. It looked like it wasn't time in the natural, but in the spirit, it was actually time. And that's why when you learn to walk in God's timing or God gives you specific instruction, don't always be intimidated about what it looks in the natural. If you know you heard from God, you got to get that faith together and move forward in the spirit. Does that make sense? So we have time. Then we have timing. This is just specific designations in time for specific events to take place. And you have to learn how to move in God's timing. Like you don't want to move ahead of God, but you don't want to move behind God either. Right? If you don't move in God's timing, God is not necessarily obligated to reschedule another opportunity. And this is why Pastor has been big on teaching you how to hear the voice of God for yourself. You need to know how to hear God's voice. I've taught you about quieting the other voices and really learning how to hear his voice, because you don't want to get ahead of God, but watch this class, you don't want to get behind God. You know, reasons I'd get ahead of God or behind God, one big reason that we get ahead of God or even behind God is fear. God tells me to do something, you got it, and fear tries to grip me so I don't step out and do what God told me to do. Does that make sense? But anytime God tells you to do something, you got to already know that if it was a voice that came from God, he has already mapped everything out, and he just needs your faith and your obedience, and everything will work out just fine. Does that make sense? Yeah. Too many people go ahead of God, but there's a lot of people that are too far behind God. God has told you to do this, this, and this, and if you're not careful, you're not, I'm going to get to it. But when God speaks, you know, he's better than E.F. Hutton. You know, we all need to listen. You got it. Some of y'all know who E.F. Hutton is. Praise the Lord. Just told my age. All right. So too many people delay their destiny or certain seasons in their life because of procrastination. And you don't want to do that. So a lot of times we're like, oh, don't get ahead of God. And you shouldn't, but you don't want to get behind them either. Does that make sense? One thing when it comes to hearing the voice of God, knowing should I go in a direction, you know, after I've done the natural things of checking boxes and, you know, those kind of things, is peace is always your green light. Everybody say peace. Peace is my green light. Yeah, peace has to be your green light. So if I feel that God is nudging me in a certain direction, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray in the spirit. I'm probably going to sow a seed. There's just certain things that I'm going to do. I'm going to get in a quiet place sometimes where I'm not praying, but I'm just listening. You got it? To hear from God and those kind of things. But the way I know to move forward is that peace on the inside. You got it? That just seems to pass any understanding, that there's that peace that, you know, yeah, this might happen if I move forward and this might happen. But if I've got that peace, that is the green light that I need from God to move forward in my situation. If I feel like God is telling me to do something, but I don't have the peace, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want me to do it. It just might mean that right now is not the time to do it. Then you got it? And so there's sometimes, you know, like years ago, even in business and stuff, so I'll plan, but I'm not going to move forward. I'll research, but I'm not going to move forward, because I have to move forward in his timing. The peace has to be there, because if I do it in his timing, everything will work out. Does that make sense? And so you have time, and then you have seasons. And seasons are just specific measurements of time that have been allotted for something to happen. And this is what I want to really get you to understand, that there are certain seasons. Everybody say certain. There are certain seasons that you can control, but there are some things that you need to do. Well, Pastor, I'm not God. No, you are not God, but you are like God. You have been made in his image. You have been made in his likeness, and he has given you authority. You got it? And part of that authority he's given you is to control certain seasons in your life. Remember last week when we were teaching on purity, and I was talking about sexual purity and how the enemy really just wants to warp your mind and your thinking and your ways so you can be outside of God's will, because even he knows that we are called to be kings and priests in the earth. Even he knows that we are called to speak to the mountain and the mountain is supposed to move. Even the devil knows that when you walk in on Monday morning to your job and the atmosphere is not right, you don't have to be like, man, I'm going to quit this job. You just go find you a private place in the break room. You got it? Walk outside, go get in your car and start praying and declaring that atmosphere to change. And that atmosphere can change because, watch this, God has given you the power and the authority to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I'm just going to quit this job. No, you don't have to quit this job. You can change it with the words of your mouth. Your miracle is in your mouth. You just got to say what the word of God says. That's a good place to clap right there. Amen. So I can control certain seasons, but there's some things that I need to do. So let's walk this thing out. I can't have a season of harvest without sowing a seed. right? Once I begin to sow, I put into motion a season of harvest. I submit to you that the way God has designed this thing is that he has designed that we are to be in a perpetual season of harvest, that we should always be blessed, that we should always have increase, that favor should always be showing up in our lives, because he set in order that if I give, what's going to happen? It's going to be given unto me. Isn't that right, class? How's it going to be given unto me? Good measure. Come on, shaking together and running over. The Bible teaches us, he says, bring ye some of the tithe into, is that wrong? Oh, a little bit of the tithe, depending on how your week is, depending on how to build. It didn't say that, right? Because God understood the power of the seed, and that if you would do it his way, you would get his results. That off of all my increase, if somebody cash at me, if I get birthday money, when I get paid, it doesn't matter what it is, Lady and I are going to always give 15% back to the Lord. Now, Pastor, the tithe is 10%. Yeah, I'm just saying that's what we do. You got it? And you know, the tithe is 10%. The offering, there's no amount on that. You got it? But I always tell people, you're so spiritual. You reap sparingly, and anytime you give to God, he's not trying to get something from you, but he's trying to get something to you. And so if we get paychecks every week or every other week or once a month, then we are to tithe on that consistently. And if I'm consistently sowing seed, watch this, I should be in a state or a season of consistently perpetual blessings in my life. Some of it can be, yeah, you know, money's going to come back my way, but way more than just money. Favor is going to come back my way. And one day of favor could be worth 1,000 days of labor. There are some things that money can't get you into that favor can get you into. There's certain doors that you can't walk in through. I don't care how much money you got. But if you got the favor of God on your life, you can walk right into that thing. Does that make sense? And so I can't have a season of harvest without sowing a seed. And as I sow perpetually, I should reap perpetually, okay? And giving puts me in covenant. Giving is not a game. It puts me in covenant with God. He rebukes the devourer. He protects me. There's so many reasons why I need to be in covenant with God. All right. So here's the next one. Here's the next one. I cannot have a season of expectation without having a season of prayer. All right. Once I begin to pray, I put into motion a season of expectation based on my prayer. And that's why we've given you the confession books, because if you're new to this, and I don't know exactly how that works, you take that confession book and you just start praying it, whether it's the confession of authority, whether it's the favor confession. You got him. He's taking my name from the bottom to the top. Policies, rules, regulations, and laws are being changed and reversed on my behalf. I win battles I don't even have to fight because God fights them for me. This is the day, the set time, and the designated moment for me to experience the free favor of God that profusely and lavishly abounds on my behalf. That's in the confession book. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I have a friend. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm more than a conqueror. My faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. What are you doing? I'm saying what the word says. Pastor, how do you know all those confessions? I've been quoting them for years, and they drop from my head down to my heart. So, you know, I don't reference the book as much as I used to, because thy word, O Lord, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Does that make sense? So I've got the, and when I pray, and I always pray, and you should too, because the Bible says men are to always pray. You got it? And if you have a time of prayer, I think that's great. If you have a place of prayer, I think that's great. But please understand, you can pray when you're walking down the hallway. You can pray when you're at the park. You can pray when you're in your car. You got it? God accepts all of them. You understand what I'm saying? So never think it's limited to one or to the other. And so, but the thing is, the bottom line is you have to pray. And when I pray, typically, you know, I follow the model prayer. I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to enter into his courts with praise. I'm going to be thankful unto him. I'm going to bless his name. So when I first pray, I don't just go to God. God, I need this and I need that and I need that. You got it? Prayer petition, he has no problem with that. But that's not the way you approach the throne. You got it? And so I come to Father. I just thank you that this is the day that you have made. And I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, and I begin to, I thank you for who you are in my life. You are a miracle worker. You are a way maker. You're a good God. There's absolutely nobody like you. You're the air that I breathe. You're the song that I sing. It's in you that I live and move and have my being. I'm twisted up, tied up, and tangled up in you, and that's exactly where I want to be. And you know, and I'm just declaring how great, and hey, he's Elohim. You got it? He's El Shaddai. I'm just declaring who he is in my life. And as I do that, his presence begins to show up. Does that make sense? And then watch this. And then as I'm declaring things, you got it? You know, and declaring is good. And there's some things that I've already declared, watch this, or already asked for that I don't have to ask for again. If it hasn't happened, I just thank him that it's already done. Father, I just thank you that that situation is already taken care of and you have stilled the storm in that situation and favor has showed up in my life. Father, I declare that the winds of change are blowing in that situation and everything is working out for my good. You understand what I'm saying? I declare over Lady LaConte in my life that we'll be married together until Jesus returns. We never fuss, we never bicker, we never argue. We are truly in love. Together we are an unstoppable force. We are walking in our millionaire status. We're walking in our wealthy place. Now when I started confessing we were millionaires, that's when we was broke heirs. You got it? But watch this. It's part of the process of faith that you call those things that be not as though they were. And if you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, you'll see the word manifest in our lives. And when we were, I think, 25, 26 in businesses, when we made our first million, it was not till we came to New Bern till we were in our 30s. And I believe that God set us up doing that first before he even brought us here. You got it? Not only did he give us the resources, but there was things that we encountered in business that he gave us the wisdom that we needed so that when we came here, you know, putting all this together and stuff, ultimately it was God, no doubt about it, but we had the wisdom we needed to move forward. So when I came to y'all and I told y'all, hey y'all, we finally landed the loan, you know, for the building and those kind of things. You have to understand, they tell churches, hire companies, get people to put together, package it. No, pastor put his own package together. You got it? And some of those bankers said, man, this is the best package I've ever seen. You got it? And so we did it ourselves because God gave us the wisdom on it. Does that make sense? And we prayed over this thing, and we declared. We gave you all little postcards with the picture of the church on the front and the confession on the. I still have mine. And so every day we were confessing it. We were praying. So watch this. So that season of prayer calls a season of expectation to be birthed on the inside of us. And now this is why we are where we are right now. Does that make sense? All right. So we talked about this season of harvest. We should be perpetual. We talked about having this season of expectation. Prayer births that season of expectation. Expectation is breeding ground for miracles because what you expect, you will experience. You got it? But watch this. The expectation won't be strong if you don't pray. Does that make sense? And when you pray the word. All right. And then if I want a season of supernatural, and we all want seasons of supernatural, there must be a season of sacrifice. Sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention and it causes him to move in our lives. There, when God told Lady LaConte and I to take care of the $8,500 a month, rent and that kind of thing, you know, we could have been like, well, we're going to loan it to the church. And when the church gets good, it pays us back. No, the Holy Spirit says, no, you don't ever do that. He said, that is your seed that'll secure your future. You got it? And because, you know, we always sacrifice, watch this, we live a supernatural life. People will look at our life and don't even understand it. You got it. I tell them, ask God. You got it. That's what I tell them. Just ask God. So I live a supernatural life, but if you look through and can go through all the pages of Lady and I's life, we're consistently sacrificing. And the word is true. You got it. That sacrifice will set in motion supernatural. So if God's ever telling you to do something or sow a big seed or do, you know, make a move and it seemed like it's going to help somebody and it seemed like it's going to be a sacrifice, realize he's setting you up for the supernatural. Does that make sense? Romans the 15th chapter and the 14th verse. The fourth verse. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. All right? So normally when I teach this scripture, I teach it from another angle. I teach this scripture as an understanding that we have to see that we are students of the Word of God. All right, we have to see church as a place where we come to learn God's plan for our lives. That's why, Pastor, lady, and the ministers, we teach you the Word of God. You got it. How many in the room know you did not come here this morning to be entertained? You got it? But you came this morning to have an encounter with God. You got it? That's why, you know, I don't try to, you know, do things to put the spotlight on me, as the case may be. You got it? I know what I'm trying to do is make sure I teach the Word in a simplistic manner. You got it? So you can receive it, you can apply it right away, so it'll get results in your life. When lady is up here and she's leading worship, you know, she's not trying to do things for you to be so moved that you're just caught up in the lady, that you're not caught up in the God. Does that make sense? And so, you know, because, you know, God, he's all about his glory. Come on, somebody. And he's not interested in sharing it with anybody. Isn't that right? All right. So today I want to show you, he says that we through patience, which is the foundation or the ingredient of what we're talking about, and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So it is what we see in scripture that gives us hope of what is possible for our lives. You got it? It's what we see in scripture. And so we see in scripture that we have the ability to control certain seasons in our life. We can't control every season, but there's certain things that we can control. I want to show you something in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, in the first verse. Hezekiah was able to change the time that God had set. This is an absolutely amazing scripture, and I wanted to show this to you because I'm telling this to you, but, you know, I want to show it to you in scripture as well. Second Kings, the 20th chapter, in the first verse, there it is on the screen. It says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, who was a real man of God, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now, I want you to understand something. This was God sending the prophet to Hezekiah, who was a man of God. It was not set as a judgment. It was set as information. Because there's judgments in the Bible that we see, like, you dying. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? Like Achan, you stole what was from God. You and your whole family dying. Like, that's not what this was. This was informative. The God, you know, in my opinion, my sanctified imagination, cared enough for Hezekiah because he was a great man of God that he sent the prophet to let Hezekiah know, hey, get your stuff in order because you're going to die, right? So watch this, verse 2. Then he, talking about Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and did what, class? Praise. He did what? He prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember. The Bible says, remind me of your merits. Let us reason together. He says, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. The Bible says, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again. Boy, that would preach right there. There's some power in that. If I had time, you got it. Everybody say, turn again. Turn again. Oh my God. Let that go. And turn again. I mean, think about it. God tells Isaiah to go prophesy. When a prophet prophesies, he tells you the word of the Lord, and he is on his way. He is already on his way, and then Hezekiah's prayer touches the throne room of God to the degree that the prophet is already on his way. He's already said, and God has to come back to the man of God and say, turn again. How many are believing in your life that there's some situation that God will say, turn that thing again? You got to believe that thing will turn again. All right. And tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and that's why you should pray. I have seen thy tears, and that's why ain't nothing wrong with crying. He says, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, now he tells him, I'm going to heal him, and then he starts speaking to him. He starts prophesying. On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. He goes from you about to die tomorrow to adding 15 years, and not only that, God ain't done. He says, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, who was a bad man, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Watch this. So he goes to God. You got to get this in prayer and in right standing. I'm telling you, when you go to God, if you just go to God in prayer and in right standing, you got it. You know, when I go to God, this is just something I've always done for years, from my teenage years. When I go to God, the first thing I do when I enter into his throne room, I ask him to forgive me for any sins, known or unknown, to wash me and cleanse me in the blood. Because, you know, we just, I know I didn't do anything wrong. Well, there's sins of commission and omission. You got it. There's some things we know we did wrong, but there are some things we didn't realize that we actually did wrong. And why? I'm trying to make sure that my heart is pure when I go to the Father. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Hunt your neighbor to the left. Hunt your neighbor to the right. Tell him he's almost done. He's almost done. All right. Make sure everybody's awake. Some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right. So he gives them 15 more victorious years. I think this is a good place to go home. He gives them 15 more victorious years and a strategy against his enemies because he came to God in prayer and in right standing. Well, if I had time, I would rebuttal the things that people say. Well, Pastor, the Bible says this appointed man wants to die. So, you know, if he going to die, he should have just accepted it. Well, obviously people were dying before their time, because if not, Jesus wouldn't have been raising them up. Isn't that right? Yeah. He rose. I mean, there's a lot of people he rose. Lazarus. You got it? And when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus was somewhere taking care of something else. He didn't even rush. Lazarus died, had the funeral, put him in the ground. By the time Jesus shows up, you got it? He said, you know, show me where you laid him. They were upset. You got it? I ain't got time for that. He satisfies you with long life. And if he will reset the clock for Hezekiah, if he will reset the clock for Lazarus, he can reset the clock for you. In your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your finances, with your children, in every area of your life. Everybody say, I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. He satisfies me. One more time. He satisfies me with long life and shows me his salvation. Oh, man. So, Father, we thank you that we can walk in patience, Lord, because we understand your timing. And we understand that your time is the best time. And so help us, Lord, not to get ahead of you. Help us not to get behind you. But, Lord, help us to walk right alongside of you. We thank you for the peace that's our green light that shows us when we should move and when we should not move. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your ministry that leads us and guides us and comforts us and helps us and checks us and even corrects us when we need it, that we might be full-grown, mature saints who are living a life that glorifies God and that sets an example to somebody else so that they can know who Jesus is in the earth. And we thank you for it. Father, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?